Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, if you were able to listen to the broadcast yesterday, I began actually just giving an introduction to a message I've entitled, Only Believe and Thou Shalt See the Glory of God. And we looked over the passages found in the Gospel of John, the 9th and 10th chapter, and things are really heating up because the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were very upset with Jesus. They said he blasphemed the God, that he made himself equal with God, that he didn't follow their religious protocol. He healed on the Sabbath, and they actually were interrogating the man who was born blind from birth, questioned his parents, and were just upset at what Jesus was doing, because, and it also caused a lot of controversy among the inhabitants of Jerusalem and that entire area, because Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. They did not understand him. So we're going to start today, and we'll be sharing the account of a very significant event, and I believe this is rich in spiritual significance for believers. Jesus preached to those that needed to hear the good news, and yet this particular episode in the life of Jesus shows a special application and spiritual pertinence to those of us who are believers. And I'm just going to read now and share chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary, is identifying her, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, this again shows the level of their relationship. Obviously, their brother was really sick. They didn't personally go to Jesus. It says they sent unto him. So obviously, they sent someone to relay this news that their brother was sick. And it wasn't a matter of, Lord Jesus, please, we're so worried about our brother. Won't you come and touch him and heal him from this sickness? But they, to show some level of spiritual maturity, they appealed to the relationship that Jesus enjoyed with Lazarus, that someone you really care about, Lord, is sick. Won't you come? And when Jesus heard that request, he made a comment, and obviously it was not necessarily to them, but to those who were around about him, to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Obviously, Jesus walked closely with his Father. He prayed continually, if you will. He knew the things that, what was the Father's will, what the Lord wanted him to do, and he was very sensitive to every event, every decision he made, that it would align with the will of his Father. Now, so he makes this statement that Lazarus is not going to die, but it's for the glory of God. And it further clarifies this request that came to him. It wasn't like the centurion who sent his servant to say, my servant is very ill, won't you come? He didn't even feel he could go personally physically to Jesus. But it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This indicates a very special relationship that had been established. It wasn't that they were not strangers, but that a time had passed and a fellowship had passed that there was a deep bond that existed between them. And so often, as believers, you know, this is a very beloved story, and we just appreciate Mary so much because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. But it's very interesting that in the recorded account, that Martha is the sister who is named first. And while we can appreciate Martha, she experienced a gentle rebuke, if you will, from the Master. And so we always want to identify with Mary. But personally, I can identify with Martha a great deal. And I think Jesus, he loved them both. He doesn't have favorites. The Father loves his children, not one more than the other. Are rewards different in heaven? Yes, that's true. He doesn't love any of his children more. I mean, he loves them with an equal love. There's no question of that. But the rewards are the result of the things that we do in this life, the result of our faithfulness, the result of our obedience. And so, but as far as God's love, he doesn't have favorites. But in this case, John lists Martha first. She makes things happen, obviously. Maybe she was the eldest, I don't know. It doesn't give all those details. And in verse 6, this is the important thing. When he, Jesus, heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. It's like, what? Jesus, you know, he stopped a funeral procession once for a widow woman who had an only son who had died. He didn't do anything, especially on such a critical, important situation. This was a personal friend. Well, he was sitting there. And then after 2 days had passed, then he says to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, if you are familiar with those two chapters preceding, when there was a ruckus brewing because of Jesus healing the man born blind from birth, they sought to stone him. In fact, chapter 10, that in verse 39, it says, they therefore sought again to take him. This is the Jews, but he, Jesus, escaped out of their hand. Doesn't give details, but he got away from them. They didn't succeed in stoning him. That was not in God's plan, the Father's plan. And to be honest, even though his disciples, they were with him constantly for 3 years, they also loved Lazarus and the sisters because they had been in the home. And they were probably very glad that Jesus just didn't go right away because he could just speak through. They knew he had the power to send the word, actually. And his disciples in verse 8 said, Master, the Jews of late, the last time you were there, they sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. He's talking about the natural light, sunlight. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Obviously, if there's pitch darkness, and they didn't have electric lights at those times, so when it got dark outside of lamplight, it was really dark. And he said, if a man walks in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. What? That's a little interesting. Jesus is constantly making parallels between the natural and the spiritual. He's talking here not just about physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. And there is a time and a place for those who have accepted Jesus, walking through the darkness, even of the valley of the shadow of death. They fear no evil because God is with them. There is a light with them. And even though they may not see very far ahead, God holds their hand. And that's a word for some of you listening. You feel like, Lord, how can things get much worse? You've prayed and prayed and you haven't seen answers. Well, just hold on, beloved. And so, let's go now to verse 11. These things saith he, Jesus, and after that he said unto him, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that they may awake him out of sleep. And of course, all they know is that he was really sick. There was a request from the sisters, come and see. Jesus did nothing. So obviously they thought, well, you know, Lazarus can't be too bad. And their response was, if he sleep, Lord, he shall do well. Recovery is naturally accomplished by rest and by sleep. Howbeit, in verse 13, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep, just natural sleep. And then Jesus makes it really plain to them. Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. That's interesting. Jesus is speaking through Scripture today in this hour. He's speaking to our unbelief. We all have areas that we are not perfected in faith. Do we have any fears? Do we have anxieties? Do we have stress? That's a modern term just to cover over what is basically a milder form of fear. It's anxiety, it's fear. You're not able to meet up to whatever demands are upon you. But he said, nevertheless, let us go unto him. He was not going to ignore the plea of the sisters. And then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, he said, let us also go that we may die with him. They weren't very excited about making that trip to a place where there was so much controversy and where Jesus barely escaped. He escaped. It doesn't say how, but he was not, they didn't perform the stoning that they desired to do. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Well, obviously, it took 2 days from Bethany to get to where Jesus was, and then it would take 2 days to get back. So apparently, you know, the sisters had waited to the very last, and in desperation, they asked for Jesus to come. Well, shortly thereafter, he had died, so he was already dead 4 days in the grave. All right, this is a cliffhanger if you don't know the story. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time, and we'll continue right on to see what happens next. Praise God. Well, I do love you. I pray for you every day, my partners, my radio family, even though you just listen, you've never written, but that's all right. I want to see you blessed more, perhaps, than even you do. It is my heart's desire that we can enter in God's fullness that he has for us. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.